Yud Gimel Iyar, Tuesday the 17th of May, Rabbi Chaim Rubin, Maran Mipano on the 24,000.
Thank you very much for inviting me back again. I'm all the way from Eretz Israel to spend the next half hour or so with you. And the problem, of course, was what was going to be the topic. I think up until now I've been speaking about my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and spoken about others who are not with us today anymore. And the question was, what are we going to talk about today? So I always remember that there's a Sefer called Sefer HaYetzirah. Sefer HaYetzirah was written by Avraham Avinu. Very, very difficult Sefer. And I'm not going to quote it, except three words. And the three words are Adam, Malkom, and Zman. Who's the Adam? It's all of us. Malkom is the place we're in right now, and Zman is really a double Zman. Zman is about 8:30, but it's also Zman between Pesach and Shavuos. And that's the time that we call Sfiras HaOmer. And of course, we already passed the half mark of the counting of the Omer, and we're getting closer to the Matan Torah and Har Sinai that we're going to relive again, Bezrat Hashem. So, therefore, we have chosen the topic to speak a little about the Sfiras HaOmer and try again to look through eyes of someone that we may not be too familiar with. I have the good fortune of learning in the yeshiva that's called Shah Shemayim. It's a yeshiva of Mekubolim in Yerushalayim. I've been there some 22 years now, and I still don't know anything. And it's a very difficult subject, and you may hear certain things today. You may have questions on them, and I'm afraid you're going to be leaving with the questions. This coming Matur Shabbos and Sunday, it's a very big day in Eretz Yisrael. Miron, Lag BaOmer, it's something that everyone's looking forward to. And they say that the crowd is getting bigger and bigger every year. They travel from all over Eretz Yisrael, people come from Chutz La'aretz as well, to be in the nearness and the proximity of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And we can understand that it's a very hard place to get to. You want to fight with a half a million people to get close to a small little building that probably takes 100 or maybe more people in there, and you really got to squeeze yourself. Besides, you have parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. They come for the haircutting of their children, their grandchildren, which they do usually close to the third birthday. So it's a very difficult place. The roads are really blocked, and it's very hard to get close to the place itself. I remember that I was fortunate one year, but that was many years ago before these huge throngs of people were coming. So I was able once to squeeze myself inside. And once I was inside, I was overcome with claustrophobia. How am I going to get out of here? And I really had to struggle to leave the place. But I'm here today to testify I made it. So I've been there a second time also in Lag BaOmer, but that wasn't in the morning when everyone, or the evening before. I came there later afternoon in Lag BaOmer when everybody was going home. I figured that's the safest time to get there. Anyway, all of us are familiar why we go through Lag BaOmer, the role of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which he plays in our lives. All of us remember the Gemara and Shabbos of Lamed Gimel, and it's always easier to remember because Lag BaOmer, that Lamed Gimel in Gemara and Shabbos. So as we all remember how the three Tanoim they were sitting and they were talking about the Romans, and Rabbi Yehuda they came out very, very favorable. That sure enough, they build marketplaces and they build bridges and bathhouses. And Rav Yosef was sitting and saying absolutely nothing. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who said, no, they're not doing it for themselves, for the Jewish people, they're doing it for themselves. And we know what the Chazal is telling us, that in the marketplaces they place prostitutes, the bridges to collect tolls, and the bathhouses were for their own enjoyment. So people who come to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, I was there just a couple of weeks ago. I try to get up there almost every month. And there's millions of people like this that travel throughout the year. Like Ba'om itself, you find all kinds of yarmulkes. You find black ones and knitted ones and tiny ones and maybe some even without. But everybody's coming. It seems like this Rav Shimon Bar Yochai has a certain attraction. But people will come and ask that he should intercede before the Borei Olam that we should have brochas and we should have atzlochas, if we have to make shidduchim, if we have to, if couples are married for a while and up until now did not give any birth yet, they have children, and parnosa and shalom bayis and refuahs, the mamash is no end to it. And therefore, like I said, more and more people are getting there continuously, year after year. Now, as far as Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we can't spend the entire time on that, but I'm here to explain it to you a little different explanation, and that is the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who left the world at this time. And of course, when you think about the numbers of 24,000, it's really a large number. But we, unfortunately, have been used to numbers like 6 million, so 24,000 is not really that outstanding. But I don't know if I ever told you, I was born in Denmark. And when I was 9 years old, I still remember until this very day, my parents sent me to the store to buy a newspaper. It was right in the beginning of the Second World War. I said I was 9 years old. The man who sold newspapers was a blind man, and he was, of course, a very honest man, and no one would even think of cheating him, the fact that he couldn't see. So you give him a coin, and he would feel the size of the coin, and he would give you the change that was needed. Again, I'm in there now, and while I'm waiting for my change, I'm looking at the headlines. I don't remember the exact numbers, but which doesn't make any difference. Let's say that it says that 5 soldiers were killed and 20 were wounded. It's probably not the right number, but it's too many years ago, I don't recall it. So I said, probably loud to myself, it's not that many. 5, it's not that many. So the blind man taught me an important lesson. He said, young man, if one of those 5 would have been your father, one of those 5 would have been your brother, it would have been some other close relative, would you still have said that 5 is not too many? I was 9 years old, 72 years ago, it's still in my head. The chashivas, the importance of every individual, of every person in the world, is so important to us. Baruch Hashem, we see from one individual, mamish, a whole world comes out. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed me, Leon Hora, I think, I stopped counting a while ago, but the last count, I think it was about 70 grandchildren, and probably close to 150 great-grandchildren. And Ken Yibua Akivan, but it's getting to a point that someone asked me, do you know their birthdays? I said, I don't even know their names. I was walking on the street not too long ago with someone, and I bypassed some kids on the street. So the person turns to me and said, how come you don't say hello to your great-grandchildren? I said, these are my great grandchildren. It's almost every week and sometimes twice a week. and I don't catch all the names. I don't know why. I guess I'm getting old. Anyway, coming back to the 24,000. The 24,000 is a big number. As I showed you, one individual is very important. And of course, the Chazal give us an answer that why did this happen? Why did this occur? And they tell us, they do not respect each other. And we have to understand that. We're not talking about the Shiva Bochum. We're not talking about what we call Koinel Younger Life. We're talking there about Tanoim. And among 24,000, there was no one who gave respect to their fellow man. All 24,000 were bad, Chas V'Shalom. The Arizal lived only to be 38. And of course the question is, why did such a genius of an individual live such a short time? Look what he could, what he already contributed to the world. Had he lived longer, the mamash had no end. I've been living for 22 years now, the Kisvei Hori. Like I said, I'm just scratching the surface. The Ari was brought down to this world to teach his famous student, Reb Chaim Vital. And Reb Chaim Vital, he was told right away from the beginning that he can ask him anything he wants. And he even attached a shvur, an oath to it. However, one time Reb Chaim Vital asked something. You can ask me what it is, I can't tell you. But it's called Tosefta HaZohar, whatever that is. And this is why I say so, is I could tell you, but I don't want to spend time on that. So Tosefta HaZohar, and the Ari answered Reb Chaim Vital that it would be better that he don't ask me, because what may come out of it will not be in your favor. So Reb Chaim Vital, he withdrew. But later on, he asked him again, I want to know about the Tosefta de Zohar. So the Ari said, if you insist, I have to tell you, but there's going to be dire consequences coming out from this. He explained it to him, and the Ari knew that he had to leave this world within this year. So the Ari used to go with his Tamidim every Friday to be Mekabel Shabbos, that used to go out in the field in the city of Tzfas, and that we used to come back elevated, what we call on the high. But that we came back that Friday in a very depressed mood. And Reb Chaim Vital, his famous student, asked him, Rebbe, why is that so? And he said, I saw out there the Malachim Avos, and therefore I know that my time is almost up. And it didn't take very long. It was the Parshas Matzos and Maaseh. The Arizal, he came down with a terrible, dreaded illness, and it lasted a few days. And he was ill, and he had to. He was lying in bed, and everybody was expecting the worst. So he asked, "Where's Reb Chaim Vital?" So he's out in different shuls to try to get people together to daven for the welfare of the Arizal. However, he left the world at the age of 38. Before he left, he instructed the people of what? Instructed them of the following, that you should live in peace, you should live in harmony. And he said that he brought together 10 families into a huge house, and they lived there for 5 months. And during the 5 months, there was peace and quiet all around. Tranquility. However, it happened one time that the ladies got involved. They brought in their husbands into the picture, and the quarrel came from that. And the Arizal, he knew that he had not been successful in this thing. Now, Florida is just a terrible thing. You know, I've been a practicing rabbi in New York for 32 years. And I've been in 3 different synagogues, all of Sephardi background. When I say Sephardi, Jews from Syria, from Damascus, and Jews from Cairo and Alexandria from Egypt. And I'm proud to say, I would be feeling even better if I could say it differently, but in the last 14 years that I was in the shul, we only had one machloket. People say, that's great, boy, in the synagogue, only one argument in 14 years, that's pretty good. However, I would have been happy if I could tell you that we had had no arguments at all. What was the argument all about? Well, we had some people who only came to shul on Shabbos and holidays. And we had a little side room in the shul. And these two, Ms. Bowling, who came only on Shabbos and holidays, they would have their talisim in the talis bag, and they placed it in that little room. They came Shabbos morning, they go in there, take it out, put it on, and then they put it back again. One, and this goes on week after week, always they find their talis. One Shabbos morning, there was only one talis bag. And the first one who came, of course, he took it, he put it on. Now the second party, he comes in, and he doesn't find his talis. So we had about 300, 350 mispalim in the shul. He goes out, he looks at each and every person's talis, and he spotted his. This is mine. No, this is mine. You know, another interpretation of Shnai Mosim B'talis. This is my talis. No, it's my talis. It's my talis. And the language got a little louder. And luckily it was in Arabic. I only understood a few words. But I just got the gist of it. It wasn't very pleasant. Okay. I told that the president was absent that particular Shabbos. And Sunday morning I told him about it. He right away went out to buy another talis, put it into a talis bag, and there was two again inside. Another interpretation of Shnayim Ozim B'talis, Kula Shaliva, Kula Shaliva, right? Baruch Hashem, this was the only argument I had, and it was something that I hope I didn't cause it. I didn't take it, I had my own. All right, coming back now to the 24,000, which we say over here, the Maram Mipano on the 24,000. That's our subject. That was the introduction till now. Maram Mipano was really Menachem Azaria. He came from a city in Italy called Pano. And he gives a little different explanation what happened to these 24,000 and who were those neshamas. In Kabbalah, we have what we call Gilgulim. The Gilgul means, very briefly, that a neshama that has been down here before, if it hasn't fulfilled what it was supposed to fulfill, either in transgressions or lack of something, that neshama, if you learn Torah, will not go to Gehenna, but will come down a second time again in another human body. Some people are very satisfied with that. I'd rather finish off at this time. And you should know, in order to finish off this world, you have to learn what we call Pardes. You have to learn Pshat. You have to learn Remes. You have to learn Drush. And you have to learn Soth. I don't know how many of you are studying the Zohar regularly, or other Sifrei Kabbalah. I got bad news for you. You're going to come back again and learn. You might as well start right now. And I think that would be the maybe the introduction to it. When we have a pasuk in the Torah, so we translate it, and we're happy with that translation. But there's a deeper meaning. We can go much, much deeper than that. And this is what Maram Mipana is doing to us. The 24,000 neshomas that died during the time of Rabbi Akiva, they were from Shechem. You all remember how Shechem ben Hamor, he violated Dino, and the brothers Shimon and Levi took the law in their own hand, and they said, look, our sister cannot marry someone who's not circumcised, and therefore he had all the people of the city circumcised themselves, the Bris Mila, whatever what was done, but that's what was done. And he said that these were elevated neshamas, all of them, even though they were goyim, But they were elevated neshamas, and being that they had done and went through a bris milah, they already had to come back and be misakim why they came down to the earth in the first place. And second time they came down was not in the time of Rabbi Akiva. There was before that, namely, that was during the time when we had the Maise in Shittim, when we had that Rosh Bilam, where he himself was the one who had already produced an atmosphere where Mamash, the Bnei Soil, were able to Nebuchadnezzar. They fell into a very deep trap. So this was second time they came down. A third time was at the time when Rabbi Kiva, those were the 24,000, and then it says that afterwards, by Lag BaOmer, that Pasco, they stopped dying. What do you mean stop dying? A person can come down by Gilgal more than three times. A person can come down 100 times. It all depends if a person is making tikkunim, and they may be lacking. So therefore, there's no limit to it. Here, however, he said they posku lomus, they stopped dying, means they had completed their coming down the three times, and they didn't have to come down anymore. So we see already now that the Maram Meipano is teaching us that these 24,000 neshamas that died in the time of Rabbi Akiva, they have been down here already twice before. They say that Shechem himself, he came be Gilgal as Zimri ben Solo. And it also says that Zimri ben Solo came down as Rabbi Akiva. And each one of them was supposed to be Mesakin Dechet. Now, what's the meaning? Lo Nogu Kovat Zeh Bozeh. These neshamas remember what had taken place in the time of Bilam, and they felt that they were all involved in it, and therefore there was no way in the world they could respect each other because they were involved in this terrible Averum. This is, however, a question that's left with us. How do we know that these 24,000 that we speak about, that they also had 24,000 at that time? So if any of you care to look it up, I wrote it down in Sefer Bereishis, chapter Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Hei. It says, Vayikhu Shnei Bnei Yaakov Ab Until Asher Baboyis. When you look in those few psukim, you're going to find an aleph. An aleph in the middle of the word, in the beginning of the word. What's an aleph? Aleph stands for 1,000, right? An aleph, even though it's one, but it's also aleph, it's 1,000. So there's 24 alephs in those few psukim to hint to us that there were 24,000 talmidim. You can look it up yourself and you can count them and you'll see that this is so. So we see over here that really Lag BaOmer was a day of Simcha because we said Pasku Lomus, they stopped their dying after they had been down here three times. So this already is a great Chiddush for us to understand that it was just not just 24,000 like a number that was used, but it was Mamash and something that had a deeper background to it. This time that we're in now, Sfiras HaOmer, is a time of Tikkun HaMidos. And that's why in the sixth parak we have a Mishnah that gives us the 48 Kinyone Torah. And these 48 Kinyone Torah is what a person should work on each and every day, another Midah, try to correct and better oneself. And at the same time, we also learn that being there's 48, and there's 49 days of counting, so the last day, we chazer all the 48 again, and this way we learn. I want to tell you, it's so interesting to know The Kodesh Baruch Hu was offering us so many opportunities to better ourselves. I'll tell you a story about Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro, we'll come back to and explain a little more about him. But when Rav Meir Shapiro was only a little boy, probably 6, 7, 8 years of age, one day he's standing with his mother, and the mother said, "Listen, Meir, you know, we have no Talmud Torahs in town, we have no yeshivas in town, we have no Hadorim in town, so therefore, your father and myself, we decided we're going to take in a private rabbi to come to our house to teach you the Torah, and we agreed to pay him 300 rubles for half a year. And he would get room and board, and the mother would look after his clothing, and he would live and teach his son for 6 months, and then he would go back home again." So when she's talking to her son, she said, "Today was the day he should have started." So he said, "Mommy, this is not so terrible. If he didn't come today, so he'll come tomorrow. But what about the Torah today?" Now that one word, Hayom, registered in the mind of the little Meir. And when he grew up, he started the Daf Hayomi, where hundreds of thousands of Jews throughout the world are participating and learning a Daf and another Daf, another Daf, another Daf, until after 7 years plus, they will eventually finish Talmud Bavli. A Yiddish mama, a Jewish mother, is saying one liner, "What about the Torah today, Hayom?" That Hayom registered and remained there, and he was changing the entire world. That hundreds of thousands, any place you want in the world, whether it's on the ship, on the plane, on the train, on the car, wherever you are, the Daf Hayom is being learned. I don't know since then if anyone came out with such a bright one like that, such one liner that has mamas changed the whole world. But I think that's a tremendous opportunity that all of us have. And maybe I'll bring it, this was for the ladies, but I'd like to bring it on the men's side. And the men's side, I don't know if you ever heard about Rav Don Segal. Rav Don Segal is probably looked upon the world today as one of the big Baalei Musar. And Rav Don Segal, he tells a very interesting story that I think has a great limud for us. He said a person was invited to a wedding. And he comes to the wedding hall. Beautiful hall. Lighting, music, good food, drinks. Simcha, happiness, joy. And the man stood there for the entire wedding. And it was time to go home, and he went home. Comes home and says, "Oy vey, I forgot my coat. I better run back to the place, it may still be open, and I'll be able to retrieve my coat." So he goes back, and it was a different hall now. No light, dark, no music, no food, no drinks, no simcha, nothing. Says, "That's very strange. Before it was like this, and now it's la-la like this. What has transpired?" This is what he came up with. All he found in there was, I don't know, people had eaten chicken, they probably threw the bones on the floor, and he saw some dry bones that they were lying on the floor, that's all he saw. He learned that from that, that this is a limit for all of us. That the world itself today, if we know how to look at the bright side of the world, we're going to see light, we're going to hear beautiful music, we're going to have good food, we're going to have good drinks, we're going to have everything. But there's going to be a time where there won't be any light, where there won't be any music, and there won't be any food, and there won't be any drinks, and there won't be any simcha. There'll just be some bones. This is not a very pleasant thought to walk around with, but the person should know that we are very limited, that whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us, and Halvai HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us 120 years of happiness and good health, and together with our mishpachas, together with our families, I just want to conclude with a bracha, which I usually do, but I'm going to say it differently today. It's a sefer called Ben Yishchai. And Ben Yishchai says, to make a bracha really effective, you've got to add 7 words. Yehi rotzon yifonecho, Hashem elokeinu velokei avoseinu, and then the bracha. 7 extra words. I would like to say that too also. Yehi rotzon yifonecho, Hashem elokeinu velokei avoseinu, because Baruch Hu should bless all of you, together with your families, with longevity, with good health, with the panosa, with shalom bayis, with nachas from your children and grandchildren, great grandchildren, asof kaladoros, and everything good should only come your way. You should be able to continue for many, many, many happy years. This idea of starting the day with Torah, elevate yourself, go higher. Try to remember, Afar Yaakovino, he had a dream of a ladder standing on the ground. And this ladder went to heaven. Why did he dream about a ladder? Why didn't he dream about an elevator? Or dream about a staircase? Anything that'll take you up. But there's a big difference. A staircase, you can sit down and take a rest. And an elevator, you can stop if you want in between floors. A ladder, there's no place where to sit. Either you go up, or you go down. Halavai, it should be and I stand, Mala, Mala, higher and higher.